Amen, church. Amen. First thing I would like to do, since I have the opportunity, is to thank and encourage Brother Andre. Amen. In my talking with your pastor, he told me a little bit about the young man, and it's just wonderful to see a young man take to the word of God like a duck takes to water. Pastor Lang informed me that Brother Andre had been with him since he was young. So you see the influence that Reverend Lang had on this young man, because if the influence wasn't there, this young man wouldn't be doing what he's doing today. I mean, there's so much other things that people his age and these other young men that I'm seeing could be doing. I was about to say rather be doing, but it's not rather, because if they would rather be doing it, they would be doing it. It's that they could be doing if Satan had been allowed to wrap his hands around the hearts, the minds, and the eyes of these young people. But they were covered with the blood of the Lamb. And they were covered by being introduced to this man. And what's important about being introduced to this man? He introduced them to the man. By his actions, his steps, they saw the actions and the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they chose to follow the Lamb. It's not so much that they're following Reverend Lane, but they're following his example, which led them to Christ Jesus. And once you've been introduced to Christ Jesus and decide to follow him, your life is changed and transformed, where that you are never the same as you were before. See, the scriptures tell us that some had the opportunity to do it, but they chose not. The rich young ruler had the opportunity to follow Jesus. See, he was introduced to Jesus. He knew Jesus. But when push came to shove, and he found out what he had to do to follow in the footsteps of my Lord and Savior, he shook his head, bowed it down sorrowfully, and walked away, having no more to say or to do with my precious Lord. But I just want to thank you, brother, because you didn't do that. When you got the opportunity to know who Jesus was, you took hold and you wrapped your full arms around him. And as I can see from now, you have not let him go. And I pray that you never do let him go. I pray that all these never do let him go. That none of you take hold to the gospel plow and then look back. But you look at the furrow for which you are plowing, and that you plow it straight and deep. That is my prayer for West Union. Now, Brother Andre said that some of y'all didn't know that Reverend Lang had a cousin. Reverend Lang got a whole bunch of cousins. And I'm going to tell you that he got a whole bunch of cousins that look up to him. You can keep on standing. Everybody else can sit down, but you don't need to sit. You got me up here to do something for you, so now you're going to do something for me. he got cousins. And they look up to him. See, when y'all look at me and Reverend Lang, y'all might not think that I'm the older cousin. I still got my hair. It might be a little gray, but it's still up there. His is gone, which is a trait of our family. You know, we bald early, but for some reason, I just didn't go that way that soon. It's going, but it's not as quickly. All right. But I'm the older of the two of us. It's still open. But I've always looked up to Pastor Lane.
Yes, sir.
He's always been held in high esteem in my life.
Thank you.
He's always been an example to me. I've heard some of the words offered here to him, and I can echo every sentiment that I heard.
Thank you, God.
I've had the privilege of living with him, studying with him, and I know the type of man that he is. And I'm just so happy to have some type of involvement what he has here at the Union.
Yes, sir.
It's a blessed church. Every time I come into this church, I feel blessed.
Yeah, that's right.
I felt the Spirit. I felt empowered. And it's an empowerment that doesn't go away as soon as I step through those doors to my vehicle. I try to talk to Pastor Lang from time to time. Not nearly as much as I want to, because he just won't let that happen. But I try to get our relationship to a higher level, because whether he knows it or not, I depend on his advice. I depend on his counsel.
Thank you, God.
You know, like I said, we come from a preaching family. You can sit down now. I'll just mess with you before. I ain't gonna make you stand all that time. We come from a preaching family. There are great men of God in our family. But even though we have so many strong pastors and preachers, I still look to this one. I don't know if it's because of our closeness of age or what, or just the high level of respect I have for him as a human being and a man of God. And it could be the fire. The fire that burns not only deep down in his soul, but in mine as well.
Hallelujah.
They're a kindred fire. Not a kinship fire, but a kindred fire. They're connected more than just through blood. It's the fire of Christ Jesus. When I look and see Christ Jesus, he looks and sees Christ Jesus. We bow down as one. We offer praise as one. We thank God for what he's done in our lives as one. And it's just a wonderful feeling that he thought enough of this poor old preacher to ask him to come and speak to the congregation that God has made him overseer of. I won't say his congregation, but I say the congregation that God has made him overseer of, because it's God's congregation. He's just the overseer, the earthly overseer of the congregation. But if he doesn't get his instructions from on high, then y'all don't have nothing. But since he gets his instruction from on high, y'all are on fire. And we thank God for that. Brother Andre sent me the theme, you know, love. This is how we do. And I just wish so much that I could preach on that theme.
Do what you do.
Because I feel the love coming out of this place.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord God.
And maybe that's why I can't preach on that theme, because there's so much love coming out of this place that y'all don't need to hear about it. At least not right now. Maybe God put another theme and thought on my heart, because that's what you need a little bit of encouragement in right now. See, God knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it, when to do it. We don't have to second guess God's intent. But before I get too far along in this, because I can shift gears real fast. I can get to rolling real fast. And if I do that, then I'll be in trouble later on, because I have not asked my wife to stand to be recognized. That's Sister Lisa Johnson. Liza, get up, Liza. You let them see who you are as well. This is one of the members of our church, Emmanuel Christian Fellowship, and good friends and sister to my wife. They call themselves sisters. Because once they met each other, they took to each other in a special way. And I like that. I like that the relationship that flowers through children of God. It's a special relationship. It's not the relationship that the world gives. See, the relationship that the world gives is based on you give me and I'll give you. But Christ's relationship is based on I'll give you regardless on what you give me. I'll love you regardless on how you love me. Because my love comes from Christ Jesus himself. See, worldly love is based on worldly things. It's based on emotion and feelings. But Christ born is based on an entity that dwells deep within you that makes me do right even when I don't want to do right. That makes me love others even when I don't want to love them. But because Christ dwells within me, I am compelled to go another mile. I'm compelled to do that which is right. And I'm just so thankful for that. We're living in a time, if y'all don't mind, if I just speak a little bit before we get down to the message. We're living in a perilous time. People's minds are confused. They're twisted. They're warped. They don't know right from wrong. And it just reminds me so much of Romans 1. You know, people just live in any kind of way. And when you live any kind of way for a length of time and you don't turn back, God turns you over to a reprobate mind, meaning that you can't do anything but your sinly desires. You know, that little thing we call a conscience, it's gone. See, your conscience ain't nothing more than a Holy Spirit correcting and changing your direction before you go too far. See, God said that every temptation, there's a way of escape. That conscience is a way of escape for you if you obey it and listen to it. But the reason so many of us get in trouble is we brush it aside. We listen to the little funny things that the TV says about it. You know, the little angels on your shoulder. See, they're making fun of a real thing. And whenever you see that, usually the little good angel gets knocked on the head or something by the bad angel. And the person listens to the influence of the bad angel. But the conscience is the Holy Spirit talking to your spirit. Telling you what you should do. But a lot of times we just don't hear because we're so set on what we want to do. And I'm saying that because the world is coming to such a bad place, worse than it has been. And for the sake of our children, I say this thing. I say it because every bad thing is being pushed to the forefront. If you read the news right now, it's a big argument going on about people using what restroom. I'm of the mindset that if you are a man, you use a man's restroom. If you are a woman, you use a woman's restroom. I'm of the mindset, and the Bible put me in that mindset, that you do what God created you to do or to be. It's not for me to say, well, God made me a man, but I kind of feel like a woman. So I'm going to start doing things to change my body from the masculine look to the feminine look. And then I'm going to start using the women's restroom because I kind of feel on the feminine side. That ain't the way it go, brothers and sisters. See, I'm not saying that people don't have those feelings. But we have the ability to heed them or deny them. The word told me to resist the devil and that he would flee from you. That's part of resisting the devil. Turn away from evil influences. Turn away from fleshly desires. See, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, then we ain't got no business doing it. And what they're talking about now does not line up with the word of God. And I think that's why God has put the message that he gave me on my heart. Because I was talking to your pastor and I let him know that this is something that I preached several times. And I just can't let go of it right now. You know, every church I've been to, I've preached it in an entirety of some parts of it. I let the people know about it.
Yeah.
Because we're stuck in a downward spiral.
All right,
And one of the reasons that we're in a downward spiral, brothers and sisters, is because the church doesn't have the voice that the church is supposed to have. See, the church likes to remain silent when it should be speaking. And I tell you that's not of God. If we're witnesses of God, we have to understand and know how to speak when we should speak and remain silent when we should remain silent. But if we don't have the light of Christ in our lives, we don't know when to do which one of those things. So in other words, what I'm trying to tell you is the light of Christ is the interpretation and the direction of what we should be doing. Which brings me to a thought I'd like for y'all to think about. A church set on a hill. A church set on a hill. Exactly. I hear the sister saying right here, and that's exactly right. That's the response I like to hear from every church I deliver this message. Think of it as yourself. Don't think of it as the church down the street, but think of it as me. I'm that church on the hill. I'm that light that should be shining and bringing light to the community. I heard the song earlier, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." But I'd like to give you another thought on that. This great light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Because when God puts a light in you, he don't put a little light in you. He puts a great light in you. He don't put a little fire in you. He puts a roaring forest fire in you. Whatever God does big and powerful. He don't do little things. That's not the God that I serve. I don't serve a little God, but I serve a mighty God. So a mighty God is going to do mighty things. Does the church understand what the little minister is saying? And I'm saying little minister as a joke because I just said God don't do little things. When a church is set on the hill, and I'm coming from Matthew 5, 14 and 16. But when a church is set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. See, the scripture said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, take city out and put church, cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So if it was a little light, how many people are going to see a little light? But the scripture says, set a church, a city set on the hill, but we said we're going to replace city with church for right now. A church set on a hill cannot be hidden. Why can't it be hidden? Because of the light that it gives and the height of it being on top of a hill, it allows that light to be seen for miles. It's not a little light that you can't see 200 yards down the road. But it's a mighty light. And why is it a mighty light? Because God needs people to see it and understand it. He needs people to turn in.
Yeah.
Let me give you another example on that. When Saul was on the Damascus Road, and the light shined that knocked him off this beast. Yeah. It wasn't a little pin prick of a light, but it was a great light because it caught his attention.
Yeah.
It knocked him on his beast, blinded his eyes, but it caught his attention to the point that he wasn't worried about not being able to see at that point. He was worried about, why am I down here? What is this voice I'm hearing? And what must I do to be in obedience to this voice? You see, a church that's set up on a hill should be having the same desires. We're set up on a hill for one reason, so that people can see it. And we need people to see it for one more reason, so that they might turn in out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. See, a church that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden, that's a good and a bad thing. It's good because we shine in a light that shows weary travelers the way. But it's bad because some of those churches are lukewarm. And Revelations 3 tells us about lukewarm churches. It tells us that God is distasteful to the mouth of God. And that he will spew it out of his mouth. God said he would that you were either hot or cold. He don't want no lukewarm church. He don't need no lukewarm church. He can't do nothing with a lukewarm church, because a lukewarm church is going to deceive his people. And God has a problem with that.
Yes, he does. Me too.
So I don't blame you, since I do too. So let me ask you. What are the things or works that West Union is doing that is being seen by others?
All right. That's it. That's the question.
Yeah.
See, that's what everybody should be asking themselves. What am I doing that others see? And when they see it, what do they see? Do they see the light? Or do they see a lukewarm Christian? Because if they see a lukewarm Christian, they're going to associate that with a lukewarm church. And if they associate with the lukewarm church, then they're going to stay out there where they're already at. So your purpose of soul winning is going to be negated because you're not doing the fiery things that West Union was set here to do. See, it might have been long before some of our times, but God put West Union right here in this very spot for, as Mordecai said to Esther, a time such as this. See, West Union, I know West Union was here more than 70 years. So a lot of us weren't even here when West Union was established. But still, God had a plan for West Union for this time. So he put it here for such a time as this. So since it was established for such a time as this, what is the plan that you have? We need to be asking God to reveal his plan in this thing. Let me read just a little bit about what Mordecai and Esther spoke about. Mordecai told Esther, if you keep quiet at a time like this, the church can't keep quiet at a time like this, brothers and sisters. Deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. Does West Union want God to take the candlestick away from West Union and give it to another church? Because God's plan will unfold.
Yes, it will
be revealed whether West Union does it or somebody else does it. He said, will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Is West Union ready to die a spiritual death? Is West Union ready to be enveloped in darkness when God intended for it to be the light? I don't think that's what we want to happen. But that's what God said would happen. He told her, who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this.
Do
we think like that? Do we have that type of thought in our minds that when God is working something in our lives and we can't see the end of the road right now, that maybe God is creating us to be a catalyst for something that needs to keep going for years down the road before it's unfolded? You see, the mighty oak had to start as a little seed, a little acorn. And it had to grow year by year by year by year until it became the mighty tree that we see now. It had to get big enough for you to put that tire swing in it. It had to get big enough for you to receive the shade of it. It didn't start the day it was put in the ground. But it had to grow to that proportion. West Union has to grow to those proportions. And how do we grow, church? We grow by obedience to the word of God. We grow by loving God. We grow by immersing ourselves in the mercies of God. Those mercies that are renewed every day. That's how we grow. We grow by immersing ourselves in God's word, the Bible, through prayer and meditation, just getting close to God. As I was on my way today, God gave me a realization. Something I've been doing years and years and reading about in his word years and years, but it just didn't click. But today it kind of had a new meaning, you know, and I'm talking about praying to God. See, some of us make it so difficult to get a word into God. Because we think that there has to be a scripted form in our prayer. But God said in his word, he told us we just have to talk to him as we talk to anybody else. You know, if it's a speech that I'm giving to God, then it's not a personal conversation. See, a speech is meant for many. A personal conversation is meant for me and the one that I'm talking to. So I had to learn that I don't have to do a formula or a format when I talk to God. All I got to do is just begin to speak and be personal with them. Tell them how I feel. Tell them what hurts me. Tell them what I need to grow. Tell them how much I love him and need to follow him in order to change some things in my life. A personal relationship is what God is desirous of each and every one of us. That's why he loves us so much. That's why he did so much for us. He didn't die up on that cross for robotic Christians. He did it for free will Christians. Don't y'all think that God could have made us exactly how he needed us to be? In other words, if we needed to be automatic or automated, he could have made us that way. God could have made us to kneel down to pray at a certain time every day. God could have made us to say a certain prayer every day. But God wanted us to be loving to him. In other words, when I'm loving, what I speak comes from my heart. It doesn't come from a piece of paper. But it's new to me every time I open my mouth. It's a new part of a relationship. Not a new relationship, but it's a new part of a relationship that builds and gets bigger and stronger every day. I'm still talking about a church set on a hill, because this is some of the ingredients that makes that light shine for that church on the hill. If it ain't no love, then it ain't no light. Because if it ain't no love, then there ain't no obedience. There ain't no following God when it gets hard. See, a lot of us fall off because when things get difficult to do, we say, ah, that's too difficult. You know, we get like the disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? You know, it's too hard for me. And we turn and we follow him no more. Because it got a little bit out of our comfort zone. See, we as a people like to have our comfort zone. And if it gets shifted even a little bit, we fall out of it and we get upset. Because it ain't going the way I want it to go. But that ain't the way God created us to be. You know, he told us there's going to be some hard times coming into our lives. Everything ain't going to be light and breezy. But you know what? Even if when it ain't light and breezy, God is still walking right by our side. He ain't left us. He's still empowering us. That's what we have to understand, is one of the differences between the church and the world. When things get difficult for the world, they ain't got nobody to turn to. They don't know that God is there. They don't know that God is walking there. They don't know that God is rooting for them. They don't know that God is looking for them to make a turn. But us of the household of faith, we're supposed to know that. We're supposed to know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We're supposed to know that God loves covers everything. We're supposed to know that. And when we know that, we're supposed to teach it to others. For times such as this, but good news, church, we don't have to carry this light alone. What you talking about, Reverend? What you mean we don't have to carry it alone? Isaiah 9 and 6 says that the government shall be upon his shoulders. So we are not carrying this weight alone, because it's on the shoulders of Christ Jesus. We are just witnesses to what is already being done and has been done. We're just telling a blind world, look at my Lord. Look how he's carrying all your pains and your troubles. Look at him carrying the government on his shoulders. Look what my God can do. See, we are witness to a dying world about a living God. That's what we're here to do. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 tells us that we can yoke up with him. Meaning we can yoke up with God. And when we yoke up with God, we ain't carrying no weight, no burden, no trouble, no sickness, no mind illness by ourselves. We're yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. That means he's pulling right beside. beside us. He's taking the weight and the burden. See, we might think that we pulling equally.
No,
God got the weight. Yeah. We're just walking right beside him. Yeah. All the burden is on his shoulders. Yeah. We're just walking right beside him. Yeah. All the sickness he's already taken by the stripes on his back. We're just walking right beside him. Yeah. All the heartache, he's already taken it up on the cross. We're just walking right beside him. Yeah. Woo. My God, my God, my God. We're just walking right beside him. He's already carried the burden. We're just walking right beside him. And if somebody didn't get that, let me give it to you by the word of God. Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. When we labor, we're taking on something that's difficult. It's a back-breaking service that we're trying to do when we labor. And when we are heavy laden, we're carrying the world on our shoulders. But my Bible says that he has it on his. So why am I carrying it? It said, I will give you rest. In other words, all that weight, he's taking it off me. All that heartache, he's taking it off me. All that inconsistency, he's taking it off me. I don't have to carry it no more. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's given me an invitation to sit down and ease, to study and know who he is, to know that I am God. I am God all by myself. Beside me that there is no other. He's letting me know who he is and what he's about. He took it and put it on himself.
Thank you, God.
He said, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, my burden is lifted.
Come
on. Yes, sir. My yoke is easy and my burden's light.
Yes, sir.
It's lifted if I accept his invitation.
Yeah.
Right. See, it's an invitation, so that means I have the ability to accept it or to reject it. If I accept it, God is going to make everything a lot more endurable for me. You know, he didn't say he's going to clear every obstacle out of my path, but he's going to make it where I could get around or get over anything that lays before me. When the enemy lays a stumbling block in my path, God is going to give me the ability to stumbling block. When he puts another one, God is going to give me the ability to just swerve to the side and miss what Satan is laying for me. See, all the snares of the enemy, God has already gave me the ability to get around them because he's already defeated them. Satan ain't got nothing that I can't get around through the power of Christ Jesus. But we fear Satan so much that we forget the power that we hold through the Holy Spirit. We forget that he's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. We forget that we got everything to do whatever we need to do. Because we're afraid. But my Bible tells us that he's not giving us the spirit of fear, but of power, of a sound mind. What can I do with a sound mind, West Union? I can think coherently. I can think soberly. I know that when things get difficult, I can call upon my Lord and Savior. I know that I'm not walking this mission alone. That's what I can do when I got a sound mind. When I know what the promises of God are in my life. That's what I can do. Satan ain't got nothing that God ain't already defeated. He gave it to me. I'm going to take hold of it. I'm going to walk step by step. My steps are already ordered by the Lord so I can walk without fear. Because I know that the path that I'm walking, God walked it before. God already put a lamp on my feet and a light onto my path, so I'm not going to stumble. I'm not going to trip. I'm not afraid of the darkness because the light of Christ goes before me. Woo! I'm in West Union. Thank you, brother. Ain't it a good word that God is sharing to our hearts today? Shouldn't we be glad to serve a God like that? And if we're glad to serve a God like that, shouldn't we be happy enough to share that gladness with the world enveloped in darkness? See, they're in darkness. How can they see the light except we bring them that light? They can't see it. Job said that the light of the wicked is put out, and his flame of fire does not shine. So if his light is put out, if his flame doesn't shine, why can't I bring mine and lighten his heart? Matthew told me that the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye is single, open wide, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if that eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is dark, how great is that darkness? It's a great darkness. And that's what people out there are experiencing.
All right.
They experience a great darkness because they have no knowledge of the light. They don't know what the light is about. They can't understand spiritual things. See, in order to experience and understand spiritual things, you must first become spiritual. And the only way to become spiritual is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There ain't no other way that we can become spiritual. See, I told y'all that I could shift gears real quick. There's something I wanted to introduce before I even got into the light. But I guess God said maybe we could still do it. Said ye are the salt of the earth.
Oh, yeah.
But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?
Yeah.
It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men.
Yeah.
What does that mean, preacher? What are you telling me about salt for? Why do I need to understand about salt losing its savor? Because we as Christians are salted, meaning that we have the preserving power of Christ within us. And if we don't use that value, then we lose what God has given us to draw others. In other words, if a seasoning has no flavor, it has no value. If a Christian makes no effort to affect the world around them, they are of little value to God. If we are too much like the world, we are worthless in God's mission and powerful movement. See, we're not worthless in his eyes because God values each and every one of us. But we're worthless for what he's trying to do, what he's trying to accomplish in somebody's life. Christians should not blend in with everybody else. Instead, we should affect others positively. Just as seasoning brings out the best in flavors, Christians should bring out the best in everybody they meet. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about that salt. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about that savor. See, that savor is God's power in us. That savor is what won't let my feet be still when there's work to be done. That savor is what won't let my mouth be quiet when there's preaching to be done. See, that savor is what won't me be still when there's praying to be done. That savor is what makes me act when my brothers and sisters are drowning in a sea of sin. That savor is what makes me shine that Christ-like light. It's that savor. It's that salt. The word says, can you hide a city or a church that is sitting on top of a hill? It's right. It's light at night, can be seen for miles. The world is in darkness. In other words, it's cloaked and covered in sin. We who live for Christ are the light of him who sent us. Christ sent us. We're his light. We're his candle. We're his spotlight. We're his lighthouse. We're his guiding light for a darkening world. See, Christ is the bulb within us. He's the electricity that fires that bulb. But we are the bulb of light that he allows to shine so that somebody gets to want to know, what must I do to be saved? How can I change this wretched life that I live? How can I be more like the people of West Union? How can I have joy in my step? How can I have gladness in my heart? How can I have a light of in my twinkle in my eye? How can I have Christ yoke up with me? How can I get him to carry my burdens? Well, all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask him to occupy your heart. All you got to do is invite him in. See, it said in Revelation that, lo, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. So all we got to do is give the invitation to our hearts, and God will occupy the space. If we live for Christ, we will glow like lights showing others what Christ is like. Ain't that what it's all about? As witnesses for Christ, glowing calls people to us. And once they're called to us, then we can educate them, or in other words, we can show them Christ's face. We can introduce them to the Master. But we can't do that unless we draw them. You see how that light on your porch draws all the little insect to it. Because they think that if they come to that light, that they might be fed. See, people need to think that when they come to the light of West Union, that they're going to be fed. And I'm right here to tell you that you got the pasture to feed a multitude. He has the infrastructure that's all of y'all to support the mission that God has given him and West Union to feed the multitude. In other words, he ain't got to feed them by himself because he got all of y'all. But since I know him like I do, I know that even if he has to do it by himself, he's going to feed the people. We hide our light when by being quiet, when we should speak, by going alone along with the crowd, by letting the world dictate what we do, Pastor, by taking our example from the world. See, that's how we've gotten into some of the spots and scrapes that we're in, because we took our example from the world. That's why we're fighting right now to keep our bathrooms separated, because too many of the church took their example from the world. And then when things turn dark, we wonder what happened. How do we get to this point? We got to this point many years ago when we allowed Madeline O'Hare to take prayer out of school. When we allowed that to happen, Satan said, "Oh, I got him. I got the key right there. All I got to do is get the non-believers and the world to speak. And the church ain't going to know what to say. Because they don't want conflict. They don't want to shake or rock the boat. They don't want to be known as troublemakers. They're going to let their Lord and Savior hang up on that old rugged cross for nothing. Because they're going to let us do what we want to do, and then they go sit there with their hands folded, say, "I'm just waiting on God to come back. He'll straighten it all out." I'm just waiting on my Lord. By and by, he'll be back, and he'll take all this stuff and make it right. I don't have to get in no conflict. I don't have to witness to a dying world. All I got to do is make sure that I keep a pew at West Union warm. And as long as I keep that pew at West Union warm and pay my tithes and go to Bible study and Sunday school, I'm good with God. I don't need no light. God can find me in the dark. I can be that lukewarm Christian. Just give me a seat and I'll sit there every Sunday. Just give me a tithing envelope and I'll make sure that there's something in it every time I get my paycheck. Just give me the time of prayer meeting and I'll make sure that I'm there praying louder than anybody else. That's my way. That's how I'm going to get in. I'm going to get in by sliding in on the coattail of the pasture. Denying the light, letting sin dim our light. Not explaining our light to others. You know, that we get in trouble with that too, church. We don't tell people what God has done in our lives.
Yeah, that's right.
At least let me fix that up. Let me qualify that. Let me change that just a little. We don't tell the world what God has done in our lives. We'll tell one another. We'll explain it to the household of faith. We'll tell our brother Christians and sister Christians what God has done for me. We'll tell our families that we know are believers what God has done for me. But those who don't know the Lord and the pardon of their sin, we don't tell them nothing. We're not concerned with their eternal future. As long as I got mine established, I don't care about yours. Just like I got mine, you go out and get yours. See, we ignore the needs of others. People need to be introduced to God. God made us witnesses so that we could introduce them to him. And once we introduce them to him, he would do the rest. We just need to make the introduction sometimes. See, we need to be a beacon of truth. Don't shut your light off from the rest of the world, because the rest of the world won't ever know God like you do unless you take a part in their education. Pastor, is that right, Pastor? Did I say anything that's wrong or off the mark? Has West Union thought about that first question that I asked you? What are the things or works that West Union is doing that is being seen by others? See, I'm not asking it as a public question. Y'all don't have to give me the answer, but I want you to answer within your own hearts. And you can personalize it a little bit more. You don't have to answer it as a church, but answer it as an individual. What am I doing that others might see my works in my life? What am I doing? See, when we understand what we're doing, we know that they know we're part of West Union. So they're going to automatically associate what you're doing with what you're being taught. So in other words, when you don't do what the Word of God says, they're looking at your pasture. They're pointing the finger at your pasture and your first lady because they know that's where your instructions come from. I say pastor, first lady, because if she ain't on cue, if she ain't his helpmate, then he struggles and suffers in some areas. She has to take certain weights, daily weights off of him so that he might be able to commune and talk to God about what needs to be done right here. So never take away from the importance of the first lady. Her duty is strong and powerful. When he struggles, she struggles. When he walks the that's right, the children struggle too. When he walks the midnight floor praying for this church, she's right there with him. Whether she's up walking by his side or laying there, she's still praying right along with him because she knows he needs her strength. And you know what else, West Union? They need your strength. They need you to pray for them. They need you to encourage them. And I mean all the time. I don't mean just when visiting churches come by. I don't mean try to hold your pastor up above somebody else's pastor. Well, my pastor is better than your pastor. My pastor got a doctorate. My pastor been to divinity school, and he's done this, and he's done that. He's been with us all these years. You've had 3 pastors since we've had this one. Now, that's not what I mean when I say hold him up. I mean pray for him. I mean make yourself available to do some of the work, you know. I know so many churches that whenever something goes on, let the pastor know so he can go. You know, it's not always the pastor's duty to go. It's your duty to go. You go. You assess the need. You find out what the people need. Then you come back and you give a report to your pastor. And if it's necessary, then he goes. But you need to bring the report to him because he can't run pillar to post and take care of you too. Some authority needs to be delegated. I tell you, it's getting warm in here. But I can say one thing. It ain't quiet in here. I can say it ain't quiet in here. I can hear some amens. I can hear it. Amen. I can hear some feedback. My wife will tell you, it's one thing I love is feedback. I love to for the church to tell me that they hear what I'm saying and that something that I'm saying is radiating down deep into their hearts and taking up residence there within. That it's not just going in one ear and out the other, but it's deep down in there, locked up, that they can call upon it when the need arises. Like the word, you should lock up the word in your heart. And then when the need arises, you can call upon it. So therefore, you don't always have to have your Bible. It's good that you do. But when the word is in your heart, can't nobody take it out of there.